Jet here from the Financial Gym. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. Today is a subject very close to my heart, and it's really how we become the financial leader in our business without having to be a financial expert. You know, there are things that separate the really successful people from the not so successful. Many of them, but there is one fundamental thing that really successful people do, or they don't do, and that is to try and do or be responsible for every aspect of their business themselves. And you'll find that this is usually reflected in how they run their private lives also. Now, I don't just mean because they can afford it, but because they believe that they can't afford to be any other way. No man is an island, and as sure as eggs is eggs, you will accomplish far more in a shorter space of time if you have people around you who are as good, if not better than you, at accomplishing the tasks that get in the way because you either lack time, motivation, or the right skills. Now, having experts around you will help you by either relieving you from certain tasks altogether, or motivate you when you feel least like doing what you know you should, and so limit the possibility of you letting things slide. This is where organisations like Weight Watchers, Slimming World, going to the gym, having a personal trainer really comes into its own. There are few people who have the discipline to maintain a personal fitness or diet regime on their own for as long as they would be able to sustain one with a trainer to guide them or a coach. The expectation of having to turn up to a weight loss group each week to be weighed, or your personal trainer asking you what you've done, makes you accountable and more likely to stick with the program. Similarly, in business, you are continually being told to concentrate on what you do well and get help in the form of outsourcing for what you don't. Now, my clients all have one thing in common. Regardless of whether they are one person working from home or in an office with 30 staff, they have no desire to spend time doing routine jobs that get in the way of making sales or developing their growth. The fact that the bookkeeping and accounting takes place away from their premises is also not a problem for them. In fact, the less they have to get involved with the nuts and bolts, the better they like it. They just want to be confident that things are being taken care of and that they get the information they need on a regular basis and in a format that they can understand. That also keeps the accountant happy and the tax office off their back. Also, please, don't wait until you can't cope or you are so overwhelmed before you look at exploring getting outside help. Plan for it before you need it. If you do it when you're desperate, you're more likely to make expensive mistakes. I have clients who went through a number of bookkeepers and accountants, financial advisors, coaches, so on and so on and so on, before they finally came to me. I have spent so much time clearing up other people's financial messes that I eventually created a service, or a product if you like, actually called Clear Up Your Backlog. In fact, one of my clients keeps renaming it, and they call it Clear Up Me Crap. Now, I know when money's tight and it just does not seem feasible to pay external providers, but calculated risks are what being in business is all about. I mean, let's face it, if it works out, it's you who will come out stronger because you'll be able to position yourself to handle more business and make more money. And remember, you are free to undo any decisions you make. If you don't like a provider or a supplier, you don't have to stick with them. Remember, you are the boss after all. Now, outsourcing, or the idea of it, has become very fashionable in recent years. So much so that you would be forgiven for feeling inadequate or behind the times if you're not juggling staff from the Philippines while sipping cocktails in Monaco. It's no secret that I am a convert, if not a disciple, of the virtual working environment. But despite that, I'm going to be a little controversial and recommend caution. before speeding down and adding to the team route, which of course includes employing people, I would strongly suggest that you need to make sure that what you have is in fact a business, or at the very least, the blueprint of one. Before any action can be taken to add members to your team or engage the services of experts on an ongoing basis, with the possible exception of an accountant, you must, notice how I say this, must, and I mean must, be able to produce regular, predictable income, or if you want to call it revenue or sales. The actual amount of money you need will obviously vary depending on the needs of your business, but the principle remains the same. Ensure that you can pay for the skills of the people you buy in or employ. It's not uncommon for the over-enthusiastic entrepreneur to expand their team to fit their vision, but do it too soon. So eventually they get to a point where they do not have the cash to maintain it, or due to poorly prepared delegation or hiring criteria, having a team has caused them more chaos than clarity. Consequently, and quite sad actually, this either leads to panic or disillusionment or both, and the owner then reverts back to doing it all by themselves once again. Looking around at what other business people are doing, particularly if they're in the same industry as you, it can make you feel insecure and believe that you're behind the times, or you're not evolving quick enough. But you know what? Do right by you. You know, what fits your situation. Without knowing the exact setup, financial position and stage of life of the other business or other businesses, it would be a bit dangerous to compare like for like, let alone act upon those beliefs. Though, there's nothing like a little healthy competition to get us off our butts, even if we're not sure of all the facts. Never watch what another man is doing, because you don't know what he's going through. Some of the things that we look at another business, that they look at our business and think, I wish I could have that. Be realistic. If you are deemed what they call a fast growth business, or you have a revolutionary idea that, the people at Dragon's Den would bite your hand off for, make you an attractive proposition for investment, then you can afford to seriously consider staffing or outsourcing early on, even at startup phase. But the reality for most businesses is that this is not the case. Their reality is that you will most probably have to graft and graft until you are able to build up the level of regular income that you need to give you the cash on a consistent basis to take your first team building step. As I mentioned earlier, if you're not really prepared, adding to your team can have the effect of at best giving you inconsistent results, right to the other end of the scale where things are just so chaotic because you're not doing it all. And that you may have been working around the clock, and because you controlled everything, you really did know what you were doing. This scenario often finds us muttering, if you want something done well, you might as well do it yourself. And no doubt in most cases that really is quite true. But remember why you looked at getting help in the first place. Unless you relinquish some of the control, you will not only stagnate personally and financially, you will be tied to the day-to-day running of your business indefinitely. Eventually what will happen is you'll either burn yourself out, or you'll call it a day from boredom, lack of interest, feeling of failure even, assuming that other factors haven't come around and closed you down first. The skill is in the planning. Planning for the new additions by having, dare I say it, systems and procedures to help things go smoothly. It is hard enough to manage change without winging it as well. Alternatively, if you were using the services of a fully set up outside provider as part of your team, the good ones will already have these necessary systems and procedures in place. They'll also have the knowledge and experience already sorted, just waiting for you, the customer or client, to tap into. Now, if we look at an example, you may own a video camera. You could even have written a script. But it doesn't make you Steven Spielberg or Quentin Tarantino. There is a good chance, though, you know, with time and effort and a little learning, or maybe a whole lot of learning, you could produce a pretty good movie. But you know that if you got Spielberg on the case with his expertise and access to experts, you would not have a good movie. You would end up with a great one, done in less time. Now I'm, ignoring creative expression. Let's just talk the nitty-gritty getting the job done. The most common or first member of a financial support team tends to be an accountant. Even then, accountancy services, with some exceptions of course, are not designed to get involved in your daily financial activities, and nor should they be. An accountant's expertise lies in analysis, interpretation, giving advice, be it tax matters, compliance, regulations, business structuring, and forward planning. If your accountancy firm handles your day-to-day transactions, that is not accountancy, it is bookkeeping, and is a separate or additional string to their bow, even if you are getting just the one bill or invoice for it. To really put the cat amongst the pigeons, oh, my accountants are going to love me, rarely is the bookkeeping part of the service of great interest to your accountant, or CPA for my Americans out there. Bookkeeping is labor intensive, and on top of the fact that it needs to be regular and consistent, eats into the fees charged, which would be better spent giving you help with your compliance and tax planning issues. Now, if your business, you know, has no money problems and money is not an object, then this is fine. While there are accountants that will do the bookkeeping to keep control of the client relationship, you know, sometimes they run it as a loss leader to get the accountancy work of what they believe will be a big or financially lucrative client. The prime reason that accountants do it is really stress. It's to alleviate the time-consuming and often unproductive task of chasing clients for paperwork and information needed to complete, be it their tax returns, year-end accounts. Over and over again, they get paperwork that arrives in poor condition, with missing data, and even if they do get what they ask for on time, the effort needed to sort out the information often does result in the returns being late, or the returns are not as accurate as they could be, because the poor old accountant has had to make judgment calls in the absence of having hard, cold facts. In fairness, it's often easier for them to just do it rather than have the problem of unravelling the mess. However, if you, yes, you, are one of those clients that fall into this category, don't feel bad. If doing your accounts well was a priority, you would be an accountant or a bookkeeper, or it's what your business would do. But you're not. You are an entrepreneur, and that is where your focus needs to be. If your accountant is doing your transactional work, be aware you are paying for it one way or another. If it is added to your bill and it's quite transparent, it is more than likely at accountancy rates, unless they have bookkeepers on staff. Or, if it doesn't appear on your bill, it is possibly being clawed back by giving you less time for strategic support. Now, most accountancy practitioners would dearly love to be able to add value to their clients' financial health. But remember, they are also business owners and have a bottom line of their own to watch and protect. Net. As buyers, we all have our preferences, and it does depend on the item or service as to how we go about it. I truly believe that as convenient as it is to have a one-stop shop, it rarely compares to having or buying from specialists. There is good reason why finding a niche is such a big part of marketing professionals doing jobs for you or for helping you build your business. It is because they know the advantages to both customer and provider. You know, it's great to be able to grab a coffee at the supermarket while you do your shopping, and then to get your petrol and maybe have a car wash thrown in the car park before you leave. Now compare that to drinking your coffee sitting in a deep-sided leather chair in Costa or Starbucks, tapping on your tablet or iPad, laptop, reading your ebook as the rest of the world goes by. Ooh. Please forgive me, I'm just having a moment. Now, what would you prefer? A ward nurse to deliver your baby or a midwife who does it all the time? As a rule, specialists tend to cost more than generalists. However, I bet many of you are specialists and are worth your prices. As the L'Oreal ads would say, you're worth it. I bet there are good reasons why you charge more for what you offer. And even if a person or company specializes in a particular sector, area, it could be in geographical, niche if you like, it is more often than not that they have really good skills in other related areas also, or have a network of tried and trusted experts on the end of a telephone that would take hours of your time to find, evaluate and approve. And even if you did, by the time you did that, these experts would have found someone, done the task or project, have it completed, or be well on the way there. Recently, I was invited to a small gathering in London where the great entrepreneur Kelly Ritchie of Rich Dad Poor Dad fame gave us some really good pearls of wisdom. And there are a couple that stuck in my mind that relate to this subject. And one of them was, environment is greater than will. And two, create an environment that sets or meets your standards and those of your customers. He went on to explain this in more detail, but in a nutshell, to summarise, he pointed out how we strive to show the outside world how unique and exceptional our businesses are, but then we use mediocre or low-standard resources to make that happen. Now, this could show up in your premises, your technology, your materials, and crucially, the people you work with. That's not to say you go out and pay the highest rates for everything. It is a subtle juggling act of balancing value received with value for money. If I go for the cheapest, what will be missing that I need? If I go for the more expensive, will I be paying for what I don't need? Or, often the case, what am I getting for the more expensive that I didn't know I needed? I'm the first to admit that while you are building your income, particularly if you're at startup, of course it may not be financially viable to go for specialists or dedicated providers. But if you are to build an entity that is not draining you year in, year out, then aiming for this type of support, at least in key areas of your business or the routine areas of your business, is what needs to happen. This applies even if you decide to go down the employing staff route rather than the outsourcing of a team. If you are listening to this, odds are you are serious about your business developing into something more than a hobby, or not just being an alternative to a job. I would say that having a team, external or otherwise, is inevitable. And the sooner you do it successfully, the greater your opportunities will be. Just being able to have more capacity to take on more clients was an amazing result for me. When I did everything on my own, I was hot. I did it great. And then I got good. Good enough for people to talk about me. And all of a sudden, I couldn't do it all. Even the most finance-phobic, successful entrepreneurs have a financial team of some sort. What does yours look like? Do you have a bookkeeper, accountant, advisor, lawyer, mentor, investor? Overseeing them all is you, the leader. These experts all have their role, and when the communication and the data available are personally related to you and your business, you'll be able to make the decisions with confidence. And also, when times are tough, having that trusted team in place will really come into its own. You may not know what all the other members of the team do and even how they do their thing. You don't need to. But what they bring to the table will help you to do your thing much better. As always, be good for others and be really good to yourself. This is Georgette Rowland of the Financial Gym saying thank you for listening. Take care and have a really great day.